Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Here I am, Chicago!
Woo! Three titles in 6 years. Yes, it is worth cheering for.
Welcome back to Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. I am your host, Dave Melton, a very dejected host coming to you tonight after the Blackhawks lost yet again. But yes, I'm your host, assistant editor, do some other stuff here at Second City Hockey, and it's just a pretty depressing night because just watch the Blackhawks get roughly 8,000 shots on goal and not score once against the Vancouver Canucks. And with me, and probably sharing in my misery, is only one of the usual voices you're going to hear tonight, and that is Shepherd Price is here.
Hi. Yeah. Well, the good news is Vancouver's on top of the Pacific, so there's that.
How is that a good thing?
I mean, we lost to a good team.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, all right. I guess they didn't get shut out by the Kings. That would have really sucked, right?
Right. Calgary lost to the Kings tonight. That's a more embarrassing loss than to the Canucks on the night they retired the Sedin's number.
I feel better if already.
If there's such a thing as a trap game, it was tonight.
So yeah, again, we are coming to you just minutes after the Blackhawks and Canucks game wrapped up. Was it then being 3-0, right? Yeah, Sutter had that ridiculous empty netter he wasn't even trying to score on. So 3-0 was the final score in this one. And as I mentioned at the top, the Blackhawks had all the chances, all the shots, and for some reason, Jacob Markstrom turned into Ken fucking Dryden in this game, and the Hawks couldn't get any goals. And after so much optimism, so much enthusiasm, so much possibility of feeling like the Blackhawks might have figured something out and might have worked their way into a playoff position, they've gone 0-3-2. They're sliding down the wild card standings again, and nothing feels good. It feels like the exact same thing we went through last season. So, Shepherd, the first thing I'll ask you is, just how much does it feel like this season's already over for you?
Well, it feels a lot worse than it did before the bye week, I'll tell you that.
Very true.
We had all the hope in the world going into the bye week that the Blackhawks maybe are back, that they had the goaltending, that they could see the offense going. Then either last week or like this week, I wrote the stock report and I said, their play is unsustainable. And I was right about that, and I hate being right.
Well, congratulations, Shepherd.
Yeah.
Hope you're happy.
I hate being right.
So I want you to elaborate what specifically about the way the Blackhawks playing was unsustainable.
Their PDO spiked when they were playing really well. Their PDO, for those not in the know, is a shooting percentage plus goals save percentage. It usually hovers around 1,000. Blackhawks have been riding that line just like a roller coaster this season. It was a spike and it was due for a drop, and that's exactly what we're seeing now.
I'd say tonight was a pretty good market correction, getting 49 shots.
Oh boy, was it
49 shots on goal, and a season low. 49 is the season high for shots on goal, and they only gave up 20, which is a season low.
Right, and only 19 on Crawford, right?
Yeah, I guess the empty net does count as a shot on goal. So the Vancouver scored 2 goals on 19 shots. That's like probably 94% roughly. And then the Hawks scored 0 goals on 49 shots. So their PDO was about 94 tonight.
Yeah.
Which,
well, less. It was about 880.
I'm trying to do math here on the air, and I shouldn't have agreed to do this. Yeah, it's not great.
No. No, it's terrible.
Whatever. Either way, what we're trying to say is that the PDO came down in a big way for the Blackhawks tonight, which is and there's something I was thinking about in as the game, as I was kind of just thinking back to everything. It does kind of feel like the market correction for all the games they won in the first half of the season, when either more often Leonard, sometimes Crawford, kind of bailed them out when they were getting overwhelmed by shots and chances again. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Right. And now you can't bail Crawford out in what was a fine game. I mean, two goals against on 19 shots is not great, but it's 2 goals against.
Yeah.
Like you should be able to outscore that.
I don't think anybody's putting anything on Crawford. I mean, the one power play goal they had a player wide open about 10 feet from the net in the slot on the penalty kill, which is like the Blackhawks penalty kill had been so good this year. So it was kind of just jarring to see a guy that open that close to the net. And then the second goal, I can't even remember how it happened now, because all I remember are Blackhawks shots on goal.
Yeah.
But
I think – and the other one was the Gaudette goal.
Right.
He was right in the crease too.
Yeah, exactly. So, no one's pinning anything on Corey Crawford tonight. And it's just – like, we were talking about this before we came on the air here, and, like, I don't think either one of us is going to sit here and tell you, you know, trade everyone, fire everyone right now just because the whole season's lost. Because – that Blackhawks could very well win the next 5 games and they'll be right back in the playoff chase. It's the way everything feels right now. It just feels like this team is not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to win enough games. Something's going to go wrong, whether it's like tonight, not enough offense. Next game, maybe they'll lose 6-5. It just seems like they always find a way to lose, which is what bad teams do. And maybe they're just not a good team this season once again.
Right. And I think the proof in the pudding is losing to a Connor McDavid-less Edmonton Oilers last night.
Yeah, and that was, you know, the game against the Jets on Sunday was one thing, but as soon as you saw Connor McDavid wasn't in the lineup like that, I wouldn't call it a must-win game, because must-win games, I don't think it's too early for that. But as close as you can get to a must-win game when a team that's probably mediocre, maybe slightly above that, and they have the best player in the world, and he goes down, they have one other guy. That's right. It. They have that shouldn't be that difficult to stop. I know Draisaitl's having an incredible season. He's an incredible hockey player. Don't get me wrong, but you should be able to beat a one-player team. And the Hawks couldn't do that. And then against Vancouver tonight, they lose to one guy again, essentially, in losing to Jacob Markstrom. So where do we go from here, Shepard? I don't know. I don't even know what to think about this team right now.
So I think the need that we've said all season long on this podcast and on other podcasts, and has been said on other podcasts, is that the Blackhawks need another top four defenseman whose name is not Erik Gustafsson. That hole has existed the entire season. That when they got the cap space they did, when Calvin DeHaan and Brent Seabrook both went down long-term injury reserve, they needed to find somebody, anybody, to fill that vacancy, and they couldn't do it, and they still haven't done it. And if they're going to do anything, they need to fill that hole. They need somebody to play with Connor Murphy, who is not Erik Gustafsson, because you saw him again do embarrassing stuff tonight. He collided with his own guy, which led to a shot against on the what, penalty kill again?
Yeah, I'm trying. I don't think it was the penalty kill. I think it was an even strength situation, but I could be wrong.
I think Blackhawks
are already kind of fuzzy.
Yeah. It's anybody. Find me anybody who can play in the top four.
And I think we mentioned this again on another podcast, but the unfortunate thing is there's probably 15 to 20 NHL teams looking for another top four defenseman. They're not exactly easy to find. They're a hot commodity when they are available. And if you're going to acquire one via trade, you're going to have to give up an awful lot to do so.
Right.
And you know, if you're trying to pick one up at the trade deadline, like if the Hawks get into that situation, how many teams are going to be giving away a top four defenseman?
I can think of two right now.
Go ahead. What I meant to say was that most of the top four defensemen are going to be with teams that are going to stick with.
It's
going
to be derbies for those defensemen. Alec Martinez from Los Angeles and Sammy Vatanen from New Jersey are both the two that immediately come to my mind. Mm-hmm. And they will both be in – they should be in bidding wars. There should be bidding wars for both of those players.
Yeah. So the issue is I don't know if the Blackhawks will be in a buying situation at the trade deadline anymore. So right.
We'll talk about the trade deadline next week as soon as we see more proof that the Blackhawks season is over.
Yeah, it's not, we don't want to do the trade deadline episode just yet because, like you just
said,
if they go win the last two games on this road trip, it won't make up for the three losses already, but it'll alleviate some of the doom and gloom that we're both feeling tonight. But if they lose the next two, then we can, we'll start the fire sale show next week. We'll be out here like it's Price is Right, giving away every player that's on the Blackhawks roster at this point.
I'm just in auction mode. Who wants Drake Kudula? You want Drake Kudula? Who wants Drake Kudula?
It's getting so monotonous because it's the same damn thing. It's the second season in a row where you thought maybe if they got kind of lucky, they'd squeak into a wild card spot, which, not ideal. You kind of wish the ceiling was a little bit higher for a team, but we're coming off three cups. There was going to be a downturn a little bit, so I can accept it. But for to be back in the same spot for the second season in a row, but then to again fall short of that very low bar to clear, like, what's the, when's something going to happen? When are they going to do something different? That's the thing we're all waiting for, and maybe we'll get an answer in the next few weeks. But I don't know if you even have an answer to this question, Shepard. But when's something going to change with this team?
I think the Blackhawks front office is tired of losing, and by front office, I no longer mean Stan Bowman. I mean John McDonough and Rocky Wirtz. I think are tired of losing. If they don't make the playoffs this season, it's very easy for me to see Stan Bowman going along with Jeremy Colleton, who is his guy,
right?
In favor of, again, somebody proven. There are proven GMs out there. I know Brandon, if he was here, would be a vocal advocate for trying a new guy out. But I want to see somebody with a track record of rebuilding a team like Ron Hextall get in this organization and take over and do the right things. Because he did the right things for Philadelphia, and they're one of the best possession teams in the league now, and they're one of the best. They have a ton of great players.
It seems like the most frustrating thing with this team is that you go up and down the roster, at least from a forward perspective, and like this team shouldn't be this bad, especially when you consider the rosters and the two goaltenders they have. Like, this should be a playoff team.
Right.
It's wildly underperforming.
And this and a playoff team who, with the goaltending they have, could do something if one or both of those goaltenders got hot in a playoff series.
Yeah, I mean, they play the Canucks tonight, who you pointed out are winning the Pacific Division right now. I don't think anybody would be terrified of them in a 7-game series. If the Blackhawks got into that first wild card spot, went to the Pacific Division for the first two rounds of the playoffs, it wouldn't be a total shock if this roster was able to walk out of there and end up in the conference final. But
the way
that roster is playing, I have zero confidence they're even going to get the chance to do that.
Right. If you look at this roster and you look at their results, they're one of the worst possession teams in the league. They have one of the worst power plays in the league. And their one good aspect of the game is their penalty kill. Makes no goddamn sense.
Yeah. It's interesting to see some of the quotes from the players are trickling in via Twitter. So far I've seen, I think Ben Pope and Mark Lazarus are the two guys there, Pope's with the Sun-Times and Mark Lazarus with the Athletic. And it's surprising that it sounds like the players are not, I mean, this is the way they've been for pretty much the entire duration of everything that's been happening the last 10 to 15 years. But they all sound upbeat. Like, they're taking positives from the fact that they were able to get 49 shots on goal, even if they didn't get a goal, which, you know, I mean, I guess only that's so much, okay. Like,
yeah, not, only so much you can do when a goaltender just stands on his head like Markstrom did.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is the way the Blackhawks play tonight is good enough to win games, and if they'd replicate this performance more often, they probably wouldn't be chasing a wild card spot like they are right now. The issue is just they're running out of time, man. Like, you got to start winning games no matter what, no matter how what your opponent is, no matter what the other team is doing. The Hawks got to win some damn games. Like, you can't, moral victories aren't going to get this team into the playoffs anymore.
There's, what, 25 games left now?
Yeah, yeah. Just over a third of the season to go. And they've got, I think, four teams to jump. They've got at least 6 points to make up. I haven't checked the standings again, so I don't know how far out of it they are. It was 6 points, I think, at the start of the day. And with very few games, they're probably still sitting at 6 points. So it's not impossible, but they just keep making this mountain higher, and eventually, like, you're just not going to get there. Eventually,
right, and then it's time to start considering the fact that this is one of the best drafts of all since at least 2003. Maybe it's time to start selling off pieces so you can go get something better, because there's Jamie Drysdale, who might not be a lottery pick. There's Lucas Raymond, who might not be a lottery pick. There's guys who you don't have to be a lottery pick to get this year.
And this is where this is the dilemma I come to, because you talk about draft picks, and I'm not against that, but it's the fine line between, like, they have to win in the next 2 or 3 years, don't they? The way that they're approaching this all, the way they're hanging on to Taves, Kane, and Keith, and I think more Keith than the first two guys, but it doesn't seem like they're concerned about the long-term picture yet. Like, they're not going to trade everybody in their system to get a forward that's going to, you know, play tomorrow, but they're also not really mortgaging off the present in sake of the future. So, like, you talk about draft picks, but anybody that gives probably going to be 2 or 3 years away, because I don't think they're going to end up in a lottery spot and get another Kirby Doc. So,
right.
So what do you do? Like, that's why this trade deadline is going to be so fascinating to watch, because it's not only going to be what players they sell off, it's what they get in return. It's, you know, do they go for draft picks like you were talking about, Shepard, or do they go for guys that are already prospects that have already been drafted and are closer to breaking into the NHL that maybe could help them out in the next year or two? I think then we'll find out exactly, maybe get a better idea of what the front office thinks about what their short and long-term futures are, because I still don't think we have any idea what they think about the short and long-term futures, because what they've been doing is so inconsistent.
Right. They think they're a team built for the present, and they're not. They're quite simply not.
Yeah, we talked about, like, they can, like, this roster looks like a team that could have got into a wild card spot, but with I try not to harp on it too much, because, you know, I don't want to be too doom and gloomy, but with the head coach they have, it doesn't seem. And you know, let me backtrack a second here, because this is another thing I wanted to ask you about. We talked about this a little bit last season, and it's happening again this season. Every time the Blackhawks get into a big game, a quote-unquote big game, or just something with a lot of playoff ramifications on the line. Tonight wasn't quite as big because Vancouver is leading the Pacific, but the last two games against wild card chasing teams like Winnipeg and who the hell did they play last night? I can't even remember.
Edmonton,
thank you. And then and they got another game against Winnipeg coming up. Every time this happened last season, they laid an egg. They didn't win the game. And this season, they're starting to do it again. So if they can't win these games of slightly higher importance, how the hell are they going to win a playoff series with this coaching staff intact?
With this coaching staff, the goaltender. Yeah. Again, it's just Robin Leonard or Corey Crawford or both of them just going off and just shut out.
And that is not a strategy I would put a lot of faith in.
No, you don't bank on that strategy.
No.
You count yourself fortunate if Robin Leonard repeats his performance last season with the Islanders.
Yeah.
That was a very fortunate situation.
And that was a Barry Trotz coach team where they play a wildly defensively focused structure. So I wouldn't expect that to happen again in Chicago, not with the way this team is constructed and the way this team plays. So the other thing –
not with two guys in your top four who can't play defense in both places.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't want to be too pessimistic on this one because there's some little things going on with the Hawks this season that have been very encouraging. Adam Boquist looks the part, I think. Kirby Dox had flashes. I feel like he is so close to some like ridiculous highlight reel goal like Taves had in his rookie season that's going to make everyone a believer. Dominic Kubalik has been a revelation, and Corey Crawford still looks like he's got some tread left on the tires. Go ahead. Yeah.
So he's got something left. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can, Brandon Saad's still a possession monster. Patrick Kane's still one of the best offensive weapons in the league. So it's not, the cupboard's not completely bare here. It's just not clicking for whatever reason. And at some point it feels like if it doesn't all click, the guy that usually goes is the head coach, because that's how professional sports works. But the one thing I did, the other thing I want to mention tonight, Shepard, and it's probably going to be the end of this episode because I don't know how much more I can talk about this without getting too upset to fall asleep. I've been concerned that at some point, guys like – the main guy here is Patrick Kane, that if they have another season where they don't make the playoffs and they don't do anything to add – for either the short or long-term futures that suggest this somehow things are going to get better. And maybe that's related to a coaching move as well. Do you ever get concerned that Patrick Kane decides he doesn't want to play in Chicago anymore? And you could also add Jonathan Taves and Duncan Keith into that question, but I don't think they're as much of a concern because of what they, I think if Patrick Kane decides that this team's in massive trouble very quickly.
The question is, where would he play? Where would he want to go? Would he waive his NMC because he has a full no move clause?
Well, the idea is that if he decides he doesn't want to play in Chicago anymore,
he would
trade. He's gonna waive that no movement clause,
no matter where it's to, probably.
Yeah,
but the other thing is, what's the return? If the return is if the return starts with two first round draft picks and an elite prospect and probably a defenseman.
Yeah.
To balance out the cap.
You're not going to get a return that's equitable for Patrick Kane. I just don't believe that's going to happen because every time there's some blockbuster trade in the NHL, it's a bunch of prospects and picks that don't turn out to be as good as the player that was sent away. So,
right. Taylor Hall's on a 1 year. So Patrick Kane's, he's sort of this sort of unprecedented move.
It's very much a hypothetical question, and I don't have any inner working knowledge of anything. This is me entirely just spitballing things, but you know, Patrick Kane's on the wrong side of 30, as are Taves and Keith, and maybe they decide they don't want to spend the rest of their careers going home at the first week of April every season.
Would you blame them?
Exactly.
After the success they've seen here, they've given the city basically three cups. If they want to go somewhere else.
Yeah, they don't, like, you know, I know they're paid handsomely, but at some point I imagine you get bored. They're competitors. They want to be able to play at the highest level, and the regular season's great and all, but the playoffs are a whole nother level on top of that. And maybe at some point they look around and say, this ship's going down. Get me the hell off of it.
I think the good news is that there's players like Joe Thornton in the league who has never asked to leave, has never wanted to leave his city, and he's never won a cup. He's never won one single cup. He's never wanted to leave, and he's adored in this city. I think that might be good news. I don't think Patrick Kane or Jonathan Taves or Duncan Keith's personalities are what Joe Thornton's is. It's good news that there's players like him who want to stay in their city because they're adored there.
Yeah, it'd be a very anti-hockey culture thing if they spoke up. I mean, they wouldn't say it publicly to the media. They'd call up their agent and have it leak it to somebody in the press that they were looking for a way out of town. But it's a concern that's been sitting in the back of my head that, like, every time the Blackhawks get near a playoff spot, and then don't make it. Like, how much more of that shit do these guys want to take, essentially? Well, this has been so uplifting and so encouraging.
This has been the Undertaker podcast.
But not the part where he comes up out of the casket, the part where he's still laying down in the casket. Maybe next week it will be the part where he wakes up, but I don't know. This is as discouraged as I have been by the Blackhawks in a couple of years. Like, because I think the issue with this season is I think I legitimately got convinced that they were going to – not that they were going to make the playoffs, but at least they were going to make it interesting. It's amazing how quickly they went from competing for a playoff spot and really close to one to just five losses in a row. And now we're worried about how far down the floor is going to fall out of this thing. So I think that'll do it. Shepard, any final thoughts? Any other things you want to depress the fans with?
As I said in Monday's podcast, if you want to go listen to that, if the power play continues to stay bad, they went 0-for-5 tonight. If the power play is going to stay bad, then there's not much we can do.
Yeah. And I thought the power play actually looked decent at times this evening. Like, there was movement, there were chances, there were shots. I think Kane might have hit the post on one. So.
Right, but nothing continues to go in.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess I hate that I'm being hypocritical by saying moral victories for the power play, but the power play isn't necessarily the score, but, you know, whatever. I thought the power play looked better tonight. The idea of Kane feeding Kubalik one-timers seems like a good idea with DeBrincat in such a massive slump.
But, right. And also, going back to a point I made on Twitter a few games ago, scratch DeBrincat. What are we doing? You scratch Dylan Strome, who has had some rust after coming back from injury, but that's the wrong guy to have scratched. Alex DeBrincat needed to get scratched.
Yeah, if they want to give him a night from the press box just to kind of let him watch from upstairs and maybe it'll trigger something in his mind, I wouldn't be totally against that at this point because it's firmly between his ears. Like, he didn't get, like, the Monstars from Space Jam didn't show up and steal all his talent. He still has the ability to score 30, 40 goals, and I wouldn't be surprised if he did it again next season. He's entirely in his own head. So if they decide to send him for a night, maybe to trigger something. I was baffled by why Dylan Strome got benched. I know Colleton said they were looking for more. I don't know what that more is that they were looking for.
I don't know either. The guy you need to be looking for more from is a guy who might not even score 20 goals, and his job is to score goals.
Yeah. So if DeBrincat got sat down for a night, and the fact that you scratched Dylan Strome and you put in Alex Nylander, it's like, okay, great.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, yeah. Well, we can talk about Alex Nylander later. He's that's another thing that's just going to bum me out. So,
all right.
So yeah, let's put a bow on this, shall we?
Yep.
Yeah, let's do that. Thank you guys so much for listening. Hopefully next week will be a little bit more uplifting. Maybe we'll talk to you after the Hawks have won a couple games over the weekend and things won't be so bleak. If not, we'll tell some jokes or something. Who knows?
We'll do a deep dive on legends and just talk about Marian Hossa for an hour.
don't tempt me. We could just talk about how much Dave Bolin owned the Sedins for 10 years. We could have done that show tonight, actually. That would have been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thanks for listening. We appreciate everyone that listens to the show. We'll hopefully get the trio back next week and do a more in-depth show. And hopefully we'll have some Blackhawks wins to talk about, because if not, it's going to be a lot of wheeling and dealing being discussed on these airwaves. So, final thank you for listening. Follow us on all the social medias, secondcityhockey.com. We got plenty of stories. We'll have a bunch of stuff coming up at the website. Follow us, like us, subscribe, all those social media things. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. That'd be great. And we will talk to you next time. Go Hawks. Da, 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 da
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.